Record.
Okay.
All
right.
Squiggles are squiggling. The cats are more or less settled in for the moment, and Silverbolt is within arm's reach.
Squiggles are squiggling, and I'm not being subjected to any dog shenanigans at the moment.
Silverbolt and his luscious lips are within arm's reach.
All right. Hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
And today it is a giant spider invasion of savings here at Moe's Sporting Goods. Because we are getting some monster savings.
Yes.
Saving money at Menards.
Menards isn't real.
It can't hurt you.
I mean, of course, what this had me thinking of is, I guess later on we get a furniture commercial. I definitely thought of, have you seen those, like, weird Cleveland furniture commercials with that, like, weird, creepy guy?
Oh, I'm not sure I have.
I mean, that kind of describes Cleveland,
this
but
this sounds
what?
Amazing. Actually, this sounds like something I was probably shown at some point 20 years ago and have since forgotten about.
I was Norton Furniture, who apparently... Yeah, he was like a ponytail and glasses, and apparently he had like some sort of throat injury, so he always kind of talked in like a creepy whisper.
Oh.
Great. Did he consider getting someone else to read for his ads?
Well, no, he was the guy who owned the furniture store.
I guess, but like yeah. You can pay someone else to do voiceovers.
I mean, are wacky local commercials still a thing? I feel that they've sort of they've been pushed out of.
Yeah, I don't think they. I mean, unless you have UHF. Do UHF channels still exist?
God, I don't even know what you could pick those up with anymore.
Yeah,
they're on, like the dark web.
Well, I mean, there are. I know in my so one night, as we know, I dabble in the dark arts. So one night I had hooked up an antenna to a TV I had gotten off Facebook for free that I was testing out. And the weather conditions were just right for me to pick up some stations that were further along the frequencies in the like 40s and 50s out of like Hagerstown, which is like 60 miles away. Which was good because it told me that if I get a better antenna, I could actually have more broadcast channels. But there are still some channels out there in those higher frequencies.
Just be careful with that, because I'm pretty sure that's also how James Woods discovered Videodrome in the movie Videodrome.
That's absolutely the kind of thing that I would end up discovering with the nonsense that I get up to. Look, I was very excited that the thrift store had one of those digital to analog converter boxes that they gave away when they transitioned the signals over, so I could hook it up to my CRTV or my CRT TV and hook it to the antenna, and I could watch Svengoolie because one of the handful of broadcast channels I can pick up fairly reliably is MeTV. So that was pretty exciting.
Maybe wacky local things have moved to like YouTube ads or TikToks or something?
It's
my favorite wacky local thing, which was less standard wacky local stuff and more like college town wacky local stuff, was in Columbus. There were a couple stores that were like right next to each other in the hipster neighborhood. And they would run ads on the local radio station. And they were like, one was a head shop, and it would just be like for Tommy Chong advertising his glass tobacco pipes, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But the best one was that there was a sexual accessories shop that sold a lot of bondage stuff. So they had an ad that was someone talking in a German accent about how your partner needs punishing. And that was delightful to have come on the radio when I was driving around, like, friends from out of town. It would be like, what the entire fuck is on the radio. But it was just, what's called, like, The Garden, I think, is what that one. So, yeah. Just on the radio out of nowhere. Does your partner need to be punished?
My favorite bit of local sex shop advertising around here was when a local establishment of the type sponsored the penalty box for the local hockey team. Because it is occasionally known as the sin bin.
Yeah. Usually.
That's also what I called it when I had a cat, a foster cat, who had to be crated for a few days because she went into heat.
Ooh.
Oh.
The sin bin indeed.
Also known as horny jail.
not exactly five for fighting.
No, she was spayed shortly afterwards, I assure you, but in the meantime, she had to be in horny jail.
But no, we are talking about the wacky local ads of Milford, Maine. So
which are not for bondage shops.
No.
Or if they are, we do not cover that in this episode.
I mean, they would absolutely sponsor Huxley Prescott.
Yes, yes, they would.
On a very special after-hours episode of I Dare Me.
Oh my god. No.
It's like wacky slapstick shenanigans with like bondage harnesses.
Not using them for their intended purpose.
No,
just
no.
Other things.
Just kind of like his hands caught in him. And, to get him out. Anyway, so Hoist and Whirlam Medics—they've all—they've all collected a bunch of like weirdo Earth stuff. They've got—they've got what they believe is the statue of one of Earth's greatest leaders, but is in fact a pair of Groucho glasses.
Yes.
I believe they've also found—they found an egg and also the creature that hatches from it, by which I mean a soccer ball and a rubber duck.
But they've already encountered a rubber ducky.
Well, one of them has.
Yes. And
the rest
also
of them have not.
I suspect that the attention spans and memories of many of the rescue bots are probably akin to Jen's kittens.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So Cody says, no, that's from a sport, an Earth sport. So that he turns on a soccer match, and then Hotshot is like immediately the sports part of his brain lights up and he's hooked.
Yes. It's like, oh no, Hotshot has discovered a new sport.
Yes, he's learned about Sphere. He's moved on to a different platonic solid.
It's time to move on from Cube and discover Sphere.
And, he tried to find it later, but unfortunately all he could find was this Dustin Hoffman movie. It was very confusing. And, you know, Maddox is not so much interested in the sports, but what he is transfixed by is a local commercial for Moe's Sporting Goods in which Moe is terrified by an enormous monster, by which I mean a wacky waving inflatable tube man.
Now, there was a moment there as they were departing to go introduce Hotshot to this new sport where one of them asks if they need the ducky for that. And Cody says they don't need it just yet. And he like looks at Hotshot. I'm like, okay, so he's going to hang on to that ducky for when Hotshot does badly and he needs it for emotional support. That definitely felt like both a callback and a possible questioning of Hotshot's ability to pick up on soccer.
There is that. So you know, Cody has to tell him that no, that's not an actual monster. It is, in fact, a comedic advertising item.
It's a comedic dramatization for advertising purposes.
Yes. And what I didn't realize is the wacky waving inflatable tube man was invented for the 1996 Olympics.
Wow, that recently.
Yeah, it was like an art installation.
It was like the Zuzuvuela of... Except I guess that wasn't a invention, it was just a local...
Yeah, that the rest of the world had discovered. It's like how everybody discovers curling every 4 years and then forgets it exists. Except in Canada, yes. In which there's literally curling on TV right now. I'm not sure if it's curling season. I'm not sure if it's a rerun. It may just always be curling season. I'm not sure. There's just always curling on.
Yeah, it's an important part of your national heritage.
It is. I do not partake myself, but it's definitely a way for a bunch of, like, schlubby middle-aged Canadian guys to go to the Olympics.
Yeah. Gotta be good at something. You'd think it'd be hockey, but...
Well, I mean, we're also good at that. We're good at a bunch of winter things.
Yeah.
But curling is definitely the one that I feel that you can do it drunk, and you can probably do it pretty much as well as you could if you were sober.
Yeah, I think having, like, a beer in you loosens you up enough to have a little better flow with a sport like that. Like, I'm really good at skee ball when I've had a beer in me.
Hmm. So we cut now to Grimlock, who is hilariously on desk duty.
Oh my god,
why?
Yes.
Why? Why did Hotshot... Also, okay, A, shouldn't he use his robot mode for keyboards and not his tiny T-Rex arms?
You would think so.
Well, and unless
maybe
is it a human-sized keyboard? It's like his tiny arms might be better suited.
I mean,
for that
yeah,
thing.
I guess his robot
but then
hands
how does
may be too
use
big.
It? It's that office, it's odd.
What did Heatwave just do this to be mean?
I mean, it is Heatwave,
possibly?
So I'm going to say yes.
Is Heatwave just like? Did he just get sick of something that Grimlock was doing, and he was like, "Here, I've got work for you."
Yes, I have. Dictation for you to do. It does kind of seem like a punishment.
I do have to assume he really did think Grimlock would transform into robot mode.
Maybe there's that. Maybe it just doesn't occur to Grimlock to transform into robot mode. I mean, I guess that my question is, does Rescue Bots Academy have a robot mode Grimlock model?
Good question. I have to assume it. We have not seen it yet.
We haven't seen it, so there probably isn't one.
Although, there needs
a toy, yes.
So.
But still, like, I don't know, maybe they could have come up with one. That seems like a thing that they should make if they're going to have a character that is a Transformer be on the show, but...
I think the problem more is, like, his ability to see the keyboard than to type on it.
Like, I think it's his ability to do both at the same time, because if he's leaning over it enough for his little arms to reach
yeah.
it, then his head is way too far out over it. And why is Heatwave having Grimlock do spreadsheets? What the hell? It's not right.
I mean, my guess is that he's doing it because he thought it would be funny, and he was correct.
Yeah, he was correct. Poor Grimlock. Just getting pranked.
And yeah, I'm looking at the wiki, and apparently he never transforms into his robot mode for the entire run of the series.
Huh. I mean...
Rescue Bots Academy.
Kids do like... I mean, that's kind of season 3 Grimlock from G1, honestly.
Yeah, and I'm looking at, like, his Rescue Bots Academy toys, and it looks like they pretty much just go from T-Rex to vaguely T-Rex-y motorcycle.
Really?
Yes.
So it's not that he gets a robot mode, it's that the T-Rex is his robot mode and he gets a vehicle mode. So we've got some, like,
so.
Robots in Disguise Decepticon level stuff going on.
Yes.
Huh. Interesting. I mean, kids do like dinosaurs more than they like Dinosaur Man.
This is true. So Medix is trying to report this monster attack, and, you know, Grimlock is not sure what he's talking about, but he's like, well, I don't know, keep an eye on it. While he's accidentally deleting his work.
He does have the accessibility features turned on, so it tells him that he's deleting his work.
And unfortunately, it turns out that Hotshot, his cube skills are in fact transferable to soccer or sphere, because he is just kicking everybody's ass.
Ooh. Well, good for him. I guess they won't need that rubber ducky after all.
Yes.
But then Medics is...
He managed to be able to play with no armor, no flying, no rockets, and like three other things he mentions that are in cube that I don't think we've seen. Well, we've seen, I guess they've seen flying and rocket or whatever, but it's like he adds so many other things to cube that makes it more confusing, which I guess is the point.
Yeah, I think cube just has like the same basic rules as Calvin Ball.
Hmm. Yeah, that seems about right.
Or I guess Blurn's Ball from Futurama. So Medic is trying to get everybody to help him, you know, deal with this monster attack, and nobody cares because it was obviously commercial, so he just goes himself.
He is unconvinced that they are correct in this. He obviously, they are being unreasonable and he needs to go save the day himself.
Yeah. And earlier he was indeed talking with Cody about how, you know, you do always have to keep your state. You do always have to be in disguise around humans, but if it's that or, you know, risk endangering them, you know, then you've got to break that disguise.
Well, yes.
If it's life or death, then just break the disguise. It's more important to save a life.
As the old saying goes, human life is more important than peace and justice.
Yes.
Oh.
So do not take the advice of Kevin Costner from Man of Steel.
No.
Oh, God.
I mean, in general, no.
Yes.
No, my boat.
So he's there and sees the monster from the commercial, so he goes and, like, hacks its arm off.
Yep.
And it is indeed just a big balloon.
It deflates.
And also...
And he sees the fan, and he has regrets.
And he's been spotted by a whole bunch of people, including Huxley Prescott.
Yes.
Yeah, which, like, Huxley's shown up before in the show, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
Okay, because I didn't notice last time, but I think we mentioned it in the episode. It's like, wait, what? Because he just, well, like, everybody's voice has changed.
He was in the Halloween episode.
And his character model is slightly different. Like, he's not as rail. He doesn't look quite as much like,
Stephen Colbert?
Yeah, Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, he's a little chunkier, and he's definitely graying around the temples.
Yeah.
Well, he got older.
And the voice is just, like, it's Bobo Huxley Prescott.
It's Tamu Huxley Prescott.
And he has a cameraman now! He's gone up in the world!
Ooh.
He is now living in a house. He's got a cameraman. He's eating a little better.
He's living in a camper van now.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, house is a little too much. It's a nicer van.
He's got to stay on the edge.
It's no longer by the river.
Ooh.
Well, he's moved to a different town, so yeah.
And also, he's totally shocked by the presence of a giant robot, even though
Is this actually
Huxley Prescott, or is this just, like, Milford's equivalent? Because that's the thing. I was like, is this Huxley Prescott for a minute? And then he was surprised by a robot. And I was like, oh, this must be Milford's equivalent Huxley Prescott.
He was in the credits.
The
as
wiki
Huxley
includes
Prescott.
Him, so yeah, yes. Which makes it all the weirder. Like, it would make more sense if, like, this was Milford's equivalent of Huxley Prescott. Like, this is the Shelbyville Huxley Prescott. But it is Huxley Prescott. So yes, him being confused by robots and pointing it out is weird, although he's always chasing the story, but still...
I mean, it's also possible that Huxley Prescott is very stupid.
That is true, but like, you think his first thing would be like, I haven't met this robot before, and try to talk to him, and interview him still, but...
Maybe he's just surprised that they're in Milford.
I guess?
It's like when you run into somebody you know from work at Target. It's like, oh, right. I remember who you are.
Take I mean, remember that the distance between Griffin Rock and Milford is...
questionable? Like, we're not even 100% sure it's in Maine.
No.
That's just how evidence is gone. Although there are palm trees.
Yeah.
Well, at least at their base, which presumably is the headaches.
It's a lot.
The headaches are bad.
It's a lot.
Anyway.
So the secret is out, and pretty soon this is making the Milford headlines. Like, robot monsters exist.
Film at 11.
Yes. So,
robot monsters? Gorillas with diving masks on them?
Yes.
To think like the human, to feel, to love, is this not in the plan?
That's a design that I'm honestly surprised doesn't show up in cartoons more often.
I mean, I guess it does. Whoever made Robot Monster, is it possible that, like, his estate owns the concept of a gorilla man with a bubble helmet?
Are they just litigious? No, because,
Megamind.
Oh, yeah. Oh, did that use a Robot Monster?
Yes, effectively. It's like it's a fish tank instead of a helmet, but it's like a gorilla body.
Ah.
It's a knockoff version, so I'm just surprised. Like, gorilla with robot head is such an easy reference to make.
It does seem like something that would get referenced more, because the kinds of people making cartoons are the kinds of people who love that kind of thing.
How was that sidekick called? Oh, I don't remember. Well, I get a picture anyway.
So Huxley Prescott is just on, like, 24-hour news watch for the return of this robot to Moe's Sporting Goods. And so Cody is luckily on top of this, and he sends Medics and Grimlock out to enact a hilariously stilted advertising stunt in full view of the cameras, making Prescott berate his cameraman.
Maybe that's why he had to use a drone before. Maybe he's mean to his cameramen.
I mean, this is entirely possible. And also, the cameraman's very sort of hefty in this, which just made me think of the Courtney Cox's cameraman from Scream.
Oh, yes.
But I'm sorry, Huxley Prescott, you're no Gale Weathers.
No.
You're not even Gale Weathers with terrible bangs from Scream 3. Anyway, so Moe is overjoyed, and hey, even Huxley Prescott says, hey, well, I do need a new golf club. Which, you know, that seems a little upscale for Huxley Prescott, but I also feel like he may have never actually been to a golf course, but he's got the setup where he's got, like, a little cup in his van, and
yes,
he's hitting the ball into it.
Little CEO office golf setup.
Yes. I suspect he's never actually been on a golf course that didn't have, like, a windmill on it.
Yeah. Poor guy. Also, I feel like Grimlock is used to this kind of thing. Since it's R.I.D.
Yeah,
Grimlock,
I mean,
where they're constantly, getting caught by humans and having to pretend to be a movie crew or a promotional stunt or some other thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure people in Crown City are just wondering, when is that movie finally going to come out? I saw those ads for it.
Yeah. With the dinosaur, it looked really cool.
Yeah. So that all is well, their secret is safe, and Maddox is just watching TV and deciding that, this soap opera, well, it's hilariously fake.
So fake.
They both have memory loss?
I mean, yeah.
But then we get a commercial for Fiona's Sofas, the only furniture store endorsed by an alien.
And then some guy in a ridiculous alien costume.
Oh, Maddox.
Dun, dun, dun. I do like...
His naivete is delightful.
I do like when they see what Maddox has done. They see him on the news, and Cody says, I better try to explain commercials again.
He's so easily manipulated by marketing.
That's unfortunate.
Keep him away from the TV.
Yeah, keep him away from the internet.
They just keep getting this guy in focus group somehow.
Yes.
He just doesn't understand. That guy said he was the Wiz and nobody beats him.
It must be true.
All right. So that does it for that episode, and then we're on to what may be the weirdest episode of Rescue Plots we've seen yet.
Maybe? I mean, there's always a new level, but it is kind of bizarre.
It's a little odd.
Yeah, this is Tune Out. This is the 40th episode of Rescue Bots Academy, written by Kieran Morrison and Mick O'Hara, the puppeteer duo.
Her extremely Irish-sounding fellows.
Yes. Last scene of these parts writing, indeed, Lucky Ducky.
Oh, hey.
So, Heatwave calls Hoist out of the office, and, you know, Hoist is assuming that he has forgot to do something. It turns out that is raising the flag, but indeed, luckily, Hotshot is doing it for him. But Heatwave is actually not mad at him. He actually has a very special job for him.
Hotshot, okay, Hoist never does anything wrong. If Hoist is in trouble, no, he's not. He's never done a single thing wrong. But Hotshot is definitely, like, taunting him here.
Yes.
He's not just being nice and helpful. He's being a jerk. I just want to make it clear that Hotshot is a jerk.
Yes. So, in fact, it is going to be Hoist's responsibility to look after a new invention, the Virtual Sonic Fence, or VSF. That is, of course, not to be confused with the EMF, which is unbelievable.
Oh! Da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. That's enough. Was that a song reference that even David got?
I think it was. Yes. The song, You're Unbelievable. Yeah. Which was briefly purposed as the jingle for, was it Crumbelievables? Which was like a grated cheese product of some sort?
I don't know if we had those. It was used in a lot of commercials.
You definitely had it, because I remember it was a bit on Colbert. Like the Colbert Report.
Wow, I don't remember that at all.
It was used in a lot of commercials.
Yeah, he was like, listen, America has no more monoculture, so we need to focus on one thing. And that one thing will be the use of EMF's Unbelievable for the commercial for Crumbelievables. but unlike that one-hit wonder of the 90s, the Virtual Sonic Fence creates a safety barrier made of sound. And the only to access it, you need to punch in a code. And if you fail to punch that in 3 times, it will lock, I guess, forever?
Well, he did
like,
say...
Heatwave says, like, he'd have to reset.
And he doesn't want to do that.
So it's like a phone password kind
of thing. Sure, you gotta, like, get like, a pen, and you gotta get it into the little button, and you gotta hold it, and you wonder if you're holding it too long.
And it's pain in the ass.
And maybe you're leaving pen marks on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he can reset it. He just... It's a pain. He doesn't want to have to deal with it. So you'd better not make him do that.
But it turns out that as you press each key, it makes a tone. And thus he can memorize that tone.
As opposed to memorizing the number presses on the numpad, which, well, if it goes by keyboard, it's 5. Delete 792? Because it's like 3x4 and...
Right.
Although I think it's different a couple times.
I think it is.
Like, most of the times, like, the middle buttons. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yes, it's a beep, beep,
so,
beep, beep.
So he remembers this by humming it, and then everybody starts humming it. And then pretty soon it's driving them insane.
Oh, yes.
They are distracted by this earworm.
We skipped over the metaphorical robot breathing meditation bit.
Yes.
Heatwave suggests that he take a moment to breathe, and Hoist rightly points out that they don't breathe air, and Hotshot
except when they do.
Heatwave is like, come on, work with me here. Yes, except when they do. Except when it's needed for a story.
Like when Galvatron's trying to strangle Rodimus in the movie.
Yeah. I don't know, that could have just been like trying to break its neck.
I guess. Although then again, that's like also, what are you breaking? How does that work?
There are a lot of questions. Just assume that that's a metaphorical choking.
The franchise has been around for 40 years, and I think even though they almost always have noses, we've seen a character use their nose literally once.
In the movie?
In the movie.
Yeah. I almost think smell was mentioned probably somewhere in G1.
I mean, I feel that they're using, like, my olfactory sensors or something.
Yeah, there's definitely somebody dropping something about olfactory sensors.
But I don't know where we're actually depicted those being in their noses.
No, I swear, like, Ironhide said something about smelling Decepticreeps or something.
Well, that's true. Although, I guess the question is, we don't know if he's smelling with his nose.
Yeah. It's never put home.
And it would make sense that he is, even
or
though...
Or if the sensors are somewhere else.
Eh. Noses are weird.
Every time I smell into the smelloscope, Prime.
Smell-o-vision. Oh, yeah, and... Okay, and then... And also, start the, so they're in the... Start passing around this song, the humming, and it infects... It becomes an earworm, and I was afraid this was going to become a musical episode.
Sadly, no.
Alas, to David's relief and Rob's chagrin, it was not a musical episode.
I mean, it probably wouldn't be that bad since these are only, like, 11 minutes long, so it wouldn't be that bad, but...
No, that's a real micro musical.
Yeah.
But no, the...
It wouldn't be like me having to sit through the music Maestro from Batman Brave and the Bold. Oh god, I hate that episode.
That episode's great, you're insane.
Everyone else says, but I don't like musicals.
Is that the one that Gail Simone did?
That was a different one, and they had to censor that one because she wrote a song that is way too dirty.
Yes.
Oh, that one was fine because that was just one song in that episode, wasn't it? Or was that a whole musical too?
Yeah, one musical number that is definitely about a litany of superhero dicks.
Yes, which is fine. One song, in and out, that's fine, but a whole music maestro, no, no.
One song about dicks is fine.
Anyway, and also they're in the danger room, and the mission that they're doing is totally insane. They're trying to keep a pot of narwhals away from an oil rig.
Apparently.
Narwhals, roly-poly narwhals. Yeah, what? I guess they would have hit the Derek thingy and hurt their corns?
I guess.
These unicorn fishies?
Possibly.
I don't know if that's really how narwhals work.
No, because it's a tooth for one, but...
Right.
It's fine. It's a simulation.
And I think they'd be smart enough to move.
It doesn't rely on actual realistic narwhal behavior.
Oh, and I wonder, I think it's on the oil derrick. Somebody, was it, I forget who it is. It mentioned something about the song is in their heads like an insecticon or something.
That's a wedge.
Buzzing like an insecticon.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, buzzing like an insecticon. That was it. Which just made me think of, oh, that's their version of earworm.
Yes.
It's like buzzing like an insecticon.
It's just all bugs.
And they can't focus, and they lose this mission, and... So Heat Wave is like, listen, you never sing that again. You guys suck.
It makes you terrible.
But then they can't get rid of it. But finally, Medic starts playing some different music, and he's able to dislodge it from their heads.
And they do, like, was that sort of line dance or reference to something? The only thing I could think was, like, the Lively Walk meme from a couple years ago. From Treasure Island or something, but it wasn't that walk, but it was similar.
And also, I think this is from 2019, so presumably that meme really hit.
Yeah, the meme hit 2 years ago, I think. 2 or 3 years after 2019.
I do not know this meme.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe they were kind of doing the Running Man?
Something. It felt like it had to have been a reference to something probably from 2016, I would guess. Or something British.
What I do know is that I learned in my teenage years that if you really need to clear an earworm, my go-to song, as much as I do enjoy it, but it is absolutely resistant to getting stuck in your head, is Smells Like Teen Spirit.
No, I don't want that.
So there's a trick. Well, that's the thing, is it doesn't get stuck in your head, and then it clears out whatever else was in your head.
Yes.
Would you prefer Smells Like Nirvana?
Yes?
I mean, I guess that might work as well.
Garble, warble, marbles in my mouth.
A song that wouldn't exist if it weren't for Victoria Jackson, somehow.
Okay.
So, I guess, you know, she was in UHF.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so she was pals with Weird Al. And, you know, he'd been trying to get through to Nirvana to, you know, write a parody. Because he doesn't have to, but he likes to get permission from the original musician before he does the parody.
Yes.
And so they were performing on SNL. So he was, he called Victoria Jackson. He's like, hey, can you get Nirvana on the phone for me?
Can you hook me up?
And she did. And Cobain's only question was, well, is it going to be about food?
Yes.
And he said, no, it's about how... And he said, no, it's about how nobody can understand Nirvana. And Cobain said, okay, that's great. And he did it.
I mean, it also, from the way I heard it, it did sound like Cobain would have also been excited that if it was about food.
Yeah, and I think they found they released Cobain's diaries. And there was a passage in there about how he was very impressed with Weird Al's musicianship.
Yeah. And like the Devo thing about how... So
it's like how Chameleonaire was surprised by how well he rapped.
Yeah.
The Devo thing about how...
The dude can do any genre.
How Dare to Be Stupid was exactly the song they had been trying to make all along.
Yes. He out-Devo'd Devo. Mm-hmm.
And so now the episode takes... it heads out into a totally insane space mission.
Yes. Yeah, so they...
I mean, it's not the first time they've been into space, but it's a weird digression.
It is... I do think that it's interesting seeing this universe where rescue bots just go off to other planets and help other groups, juxtaposed with IDW, where the rest of the galaxy is like, hell no. Cybertronians are like the trailer park that's on fire, and no one wants anything to do with them.
So we're going to the planet Herbu.
Yes, and where there's a bug-type Pokemon that's threatening these grass-type Pokemon.
Oh my god, yes! That is such a Pokemon! The big
beetle thing. Oh, see, and I was thinking these Herbuvians, like if the California Raisins were instead a product of, like, the National Potato Council.
Yes!
Yeah!
Yeah, they're very potato people.
Very potato.
And there's like an 80s cartoon devoted to a lovable cast of potato people.
Yes.
Yeah. There's even an old withered one that looks like a
yam. You got like a baby potato. You got like an adult potato. He's got like a little leaf goatee. And you got like an old man potato.
We need more of these potato people. And the bug type Pokemon who are harassing them.
Wait, Hermes is Jamaican? I thought he was some kind of outer space potato man. But no, these guys are straight out of those characters from Cleveland.
Yeah, the potato people are very like that. They do look like they're from an 80s cartoon.
And yeah, they're being menaced by a Carcnoid beetle.
It's a Pokemon.
Which is like...
It's very Pokemon.
It is
looking.
Like straight up some sort of like Pokemon bug centaur guy.
Wait, let me get it. It's a centaur version of a Scizor.
I love Scizor.
I was thinking Scyther?
Scizor is the, like, metal-evolved form of Scyther.
Okay.
So...
I don't know any Pokemon outside of the first generation.
I apparently
had to look it up. I knew what it looked like, but I had to Google Red Beetle Pokemon.
I have been instructed that I need to turn on voice chat on my Switch, too, so that my nephew Will can ask me questions about Pokemon.
And apparently this thing's like 20 tons.
Yeah, which is, it's pretty big. I mean, maybe it is metal type. Maybe it is steel type.
It is very, like, it's a beetle, so, Hotshot assumes it's going to be a little beetle. And I was figuring, it's going to be a little, like, as big as a hut. No, this is a kaiju.
I love Scizor. Yeah. Scizor is so great. He knows false swipe. That's very useful.
Sadly, it doesn't talk because I assume it would have had like a bad Liverpool accent. Which is exactly what they did with the Marvel villain, the Beetle, when he showed up in that 90s Iron Man cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a guy doing a bad Ringo impression.
Oh, hey. The Ringo impressions are so easy to do. Why would you do a bad one? No, wait, that's slipping a piece of Surfer. What the fuck?
Peace and love.
Yeah.
I'm Ringo.
Just get Yakko or Wacko Warner. They're called Herbubians.
Herbuvians.
I heard Herbubian.
No, it's Herbuvian.
Okay.
Check out the sweater potatoes on that chick.
So I guess they're herbivores. Herbivores.
Well, if they ate plants, I assume they'd be like cannibals. So maybe they eat like. I mean, maybe they just like, you know, put their feet into the soil and extract the nutrients that way.
Yeah.
Or they photosynthesize.
Oh, they do have leaves.
Yeah, they got little head leaves.
And then I assume this this giant beetle here is looking to carbo load.
Yes. Carbs.
He just thinks they're neat. So everybody's trying to. So obviously, the way to protect these potato people is to use this this sonic fence. But nobody can remember the tune.
Because they purged it.
Yes, because they've successfully got it.
They purged it from their minds.
If only there had been numbers on the keypad, and it would be easier to remember the number pad. But no, they're blank.
Listen, what Hoy should have done is what I call the John Tesh strategy. So John Tesh was like, he was like out of town or something. And he came up with like this little tune that he really liked. But he couldn't, you know, he didn't have anything to like write it down with. So he called his house and hummed it into his answering machine.
Yeah.
And that became the NBA on NBC theme, Round Ball Rock.
Okay.
Dun da da dun da da dun dun dun.
Da 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 da.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Okay. Anyway, that is
just like Medics, it's pitch perfect in this episode, so am I.
Of course, of course.
Anyway.
Hoist, while the other rescue bots are doing their best to distract this beetle maniac. Hoist is
that like,
you know,
a Lego maniac?
Well, you know, it's like how people had Beatlemania in the '60s.
I see.
Except he's an actual beetle, so he's a beetle who's a maniac.
Or in Japan.
Yes.
Well, Japan also had like Cheap Trick Mania. I don't know what the deal with Japan is.
I was very sad to hear that while they were very fond of the band Mr. Big, they did not call them like Big-san.
They did actually call Cheap Trick the American Beatles.
Wow,
that's how big they were in Japan.
Damn.
Okay. Well, Japan always seems like 10 years behind and 10 years ahead at the same time in musical tastes.
Macross 7 makes so much more sense now.
Is Cheap Trick in Macross 7?
No, but it's about a rock band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Saving
a very American style.
They're very American style.
Yeah.
And this is the same franchise that also had Minmay, right?
Yes. That's the thing, is that it's about a guy who thinks that they need to try to fight aliens by winning them over with their singing, which would be wild, except it worked one time before.
Yes. This is a two nickel situation.
Yes.
So Hoist, you know, he is finding his still point. He is taming the beast within to unleash the robot without, or however that went.
Yes.
Well, yeah, because they form a little circle and they all go into the white matrix zone.
The white hot room.
To remember the song.
He's got to find the seeds of the future. They're buried in the past.
Well, they're buried with the potato people.
Yeah.
They are buried with the potato people.
The potato seeds.
Oh, man, these guys, maybe these people harvest like that green goop from Beast Machines.
Ooh. Maybe Beast Machines takes place in the extremely distant future of the aligned continuity. And this is the origin of Cybertron. But it's a different Cybertron.
Listen, that probably happens in some, like, Takara timeline that was released on the back of a cereal box or something.
Yes.
I don't think they do that anymore. Also, because it would be way too wacky at this point. Then again, like, the Legend of Zelda timelines keep trying to make sense out of those, and they do not work.
Yeah, sometimes it's better to just leave well enough alone with that.
I mean, otherwise, that princess, she keeps getting kidnapped all the time.
Hmm.
Presumably, it's different princesses that are, like, reincarnated.
Well, it is, but it... Reincarnated, but also, like, descendants, and it's... So many of the games are prequels to previous games, like prequel after prequel after prequel. It's going all
Wait,
the way
so not every game has the same Link and Zelda in it?
Only two or three, I think.
I mean, Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom are direct.
Yes, Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, and Zelda 1 and Zelda 2 are direct.
Sequels.
I think there's only, like, one other pairing or something.
So, like, the Ocarina of Time Link is a totally different Link?
Oh, wait. Oh, Ocarina and Majora's Mask. Those two follow each other. Oh. But they're unrelated to other ones. They're like prequels to the original Zelda. It's... The Zelda timeline is confusing. I have only played a couple
of games. Is this also true, like, other Nintendo games? Is there, like, a whole, like, lineage of Mario and Mario's?
No, Mario is all Mario. That, I think, follows one after another. Although the newest Donkey Kong game is a prequel... Maybe? Sort of?
Huh. Bonanza?
Because, like, it has... Oh, is it Rosalina?
Am I going to have to get that just because I have a Switch, too? Am I required to get all the big...
But, like, the woman in that is, like, the woman that was in the original Donkey Kong.
Pauline?
Only she's a child... Yes, Pauline. Only she's a child in the new game.
Okay. Not a grown woman. So maybe it is...
So it's a prequel? Unless it's a second, and it's her daughter's, I don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe it's a reboot.
Yes!
Reboot of the Donkey Kong universe. Also, yeah. Speaking of my Switch 2 and Donkey Kong, one of the earlier tracks in Mario Kart is the DK Spaceport, and I have so many questions. Why does Donkey Kong have a spaceport being the primary question?
Listen, they still haven't figured out why he's a monkey named Donkey.
I mean, okay, but that's a minor thing compared to why is he capable of
Donkey Kong,
interplanetary.
He's the leader of travel. The Donkey Bunch and a space captain?
He doesn't wear pants.
He does wear a tie, though.
Yeah.
He does wear more clothes in the new game, like you can change outfits.
I mean, I guess...
Which just shows his previous shame of only wearing a tie.
I guess just because you don't wear clothes on a daily basis doesn't mean you can't put on a space suit, but...
No.
I have so many questions.
And of course, I mean, we're aware that, you know, from Captain Simian and the Space Monkeys, there are monkeys suited for the rigors of space travel.
Well, that is true. That is true. And I need to see if somebody's got, like, VHS rips of that up on archive.org or something to go with my Mighty Max downloads I got from there.
Ooh.
We haven't done Captain Simian and the Space Monkeys yet, have
no.
we? Have not. That's got to be a stay tuned.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. I love that show.
Oh, you know we should do it.
When?
April.
Yes.
Anyway, so Hoist, he finds a still point. He remembers this tune and activates this fence, making this beetle run away.
Yay!
So
good
we're
job.
We're all having a party with the potato people. It's going great until somebody pulls out a bottle of vodka and
oh,
one
no.
of the guys. Realizes that it was made from his dad.
It's a terrible faux pas. Also, they notice that the beetle runs away singing their little tune.
Yeah.
So they have passed this on even further.
Yes.
I have questions. I guess that they don't have the prime directive in this series, and yet they're doing that with Earth. It's like non-interference, but they're interfering with the potato people, unless they previously interfered with the potato people, and the potato people are okay with that. But we see pictures of the potato people. They never actually interacted with the potato people in this episode.
Look, directly. If we are going to accept that Donkey Kong can personally have a spaceport, then we can accept that these potato people have independently achieved interplanetary travel.
Also, I feel like this is a thing where, like, they had to save the potato people from the Decepticons, like, centuries ago.
Could be. And they're just, like, friends with them.
Right.
They help out when they need.
So the... Exactly. When they have, you know, giant beetle problems.
Yeah. Hmm. They're like, hey, can you send some people? And they're like, we can send some rookies.
Yeah, we can send our... Well, listen, B team might be a little generous. How many letters does your alphabet have? So I enjoyed this episode for how totally bizarre it got at the end.
I would like to know...
Like, this is not an episode where in the first 5 minutes you think we're going to meet potato people.
No, it's definitely not.
Or giant alien bugs. Yeah, normally it would be, that would be the entire episode.
Heatwave is so mad. Heatwave was just so mad.
Yes.
But yes, it's an interesting little episode. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the potato people. I enjoyed the bug-type Pokemon, possibly Bug-Steel, which is an excellent combo, though I love anything paired with a Steel-type.
Yeah, this again feels like an episode that could have easily been stretched out to 20 minutes. Full-length episode.
Yes, this... We definitely would have, like, learned more about the potato people.
Yeah. And there would have been more incidents with songs.
Yes.
There would have been, like, named potato people.
Yes. Ah, yes. It is I, Yukon the First.
And my son, Russet.
We follow the lineage of Duncan, Idaho.
God damn it.
Come with us to the Spud Palace.
The eyes of our god watch everything.
Oh god. All right, so
anyway, fun little episode.
Yeah, that is it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with more Rescue Bots action. Until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Twitter, we are on Mastodon, we are on Blue Sky. And we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses at patreon.com/iaconunderground. For the month of July, we are going to be celebrating... We're doing Superman first, right? And then we're doing Fantastic Four next month.
That's right.
So We are going to be visiting a series that Derek Wyatt worked on, the Legion of Superheroes cartoon from the late aughts, which is, it's underrated. It's seriously underrated. It's a very good series. So
we're going to the 31st century? The 30th
it's
century?
The 31st century.
31st century.
31st and a half century?
No. No, it's just the 31st.
Oh.
No.
Well, that makes me very angry.
And then, yes, for August, we are going to watch Rob's Choice of Fantastic Four cartoons.
Oh, listen, it is going to be clobbering time on your minds and your souls.
Oh, no.
There's some rough stuff out there. It's bad. It's real bad.
You'll be saying, what a revolting development this is.
Gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt a lot.
I'm gonna be more of a mischievous scamp than that. The Yancey Street Gang.
But if you join now for as little as $1 a month, you can also get our June episode and celebrate American fireworks season with Captain America: Brave New World.
That's
where
right.
Where we discuss way more of the, what was it, 2008 Incredible Hulk movie than anyone expected going into this movie coming out.
That's right. The required viewing for this, you don't really need the previous Cat movie so much, but definitely Incredible Hulk and Eternals for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you have to know the ending of Eternals, not any of the rest of the movie.
No, I mean, sadly, you know, Druig is not just showing up for no reason.
They crack the world's shell.
So we'll be back next time when uh, once with more rescue bots. And once again, we're encountering weird aliens in the next episode.
Oh man, yeah. I love all the weird aliens. I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
Oh, and so, you might be able to catch us at TFCon if this episode actually drops before that, which theoretically we will. Well, at least me.
Yeah, I'm...
Jen is not available. Rob?
I think I'm on dog-sitting duty.
Oh, wow.
My sister's going out of town. I gotta look after her dog.
Well, it sounds like you should have a dog with you at the convention.
Oh.
Maybe the dog can say hi to the convention cat.
Yeah.
What, convention cat?
That was such a good cat.
Well, last year there was a cat.
It sounds like the cat comes all the time.
Was it like somebody's emotional support cat?
I guess kind so. Of.
Mm.
She was a good cat. She was a pretty impressive cat.
Very well-behaved kitty. I think there was a dog there.
I mean, back in my day, we had a snake.
Well, that's true. I guess there's less chance of it escaping quickly.
Yeah, when they're that big, they hopefully don't move super fast or hide easily.
I'm not familiar with the bigness of this snake, but I'm guessing big.
I need to find a photo, but yeah, she was full grown.
I've seen pictures and it's big.
I forget what exactly she was, but it was in that large constrictor. It was like a
constrictor sort.
A boa or a python. Something in that family, but I forget what type she was specifically.
So like big enough to drape itself over Salma Hayek, but not big enough to devour John Voight.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
John Voight, the perhaps cinema's least convincing South American. Man, that's a Patreon episode we might have to do sometime.
Oh man, I'd be up for it. I don't know that I've ever actually watched it. I've just seen parts of it on TV.
I saw it in the theater.
Wow.
And it's got a Transformers connection because the snake is blatantly voiced by Frank Welker.
Nice.
It's just making Frank well, and actually double Transformers connections because John Voight's in Transformers.
Oh, well, there you go. Oh, that's right. It was the episode of X-Files with all the cats in it that I was like, unsurprisingly in the credits, Frank Welker.
Tesso dos Bichos, which I guess they had to rewrite the climax because they tried to get the cats to attack David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson, and the cats were not interested in doing that.
The cats were no.
You're never going to get cats.
There was one shot of, like, a whole bunch of cats just, like, hanging out. Like, yeah, that's about right.
And I guess
that
was supposed to, like, set up them attacking them in the climax, but then it turns out that's very hard to do on a TV budget.
Yeah, cats...
with cat actors.
They aren't really inclined to pretend to be aggressive.
No, you can't really train a cat to attack someone unless they're really pissed off.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta make them...
Or overly playful, but even the play, it looks more like actual play than dog playing as to how they attack.
Yes.
And I think also Gillian Anderson was a little...
Ooh, dog is attacking someone there. They're just playing and somebody's playing growls.
Last night I did get to one of the episodes with Campbell Lane.
Ooh. He's like one of the like old conspiracy guys, right?
Yes, he's a senator. And it's like, hey, it's Campbell Lane being on the screen.
And kind of just normally sounds like Rampage.
He does. Hmm. I mean, there is a lot of acting to Rampage, but yeah, that's just his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Just sounding like Rampage, you know, being calmly threatening instead of being enraged.
All right. Well, until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen. And speaking of Campbell Lane, we should do that Fox Nick Fury movie someday.
Oh, yes.
Hmm.
That's got to be an archive.org.
Yeah. Probably. And I'm David.
Okay.
It's got Gary Chalk, too.
Yes. Chalky.